today's talking point.
The string of sniper shootings in the area surrounding America's capital have once again raised the issue of gun control in a country where gun ownership is considered to be a key civil liberty. And in Australia, Prime Minister John Howard has called for a virtual ban on all handguns following a shooting spree at a university in Melbourne in which two students were killed and five others wounded. Do you think that stricter gun laws can help to reduce violent crime? Or should everyone have the right to bear arms? We want to know what you think.
Join in the debate and have your say. Email talkingpoint at bbc.co.uk and remember to include your phone number or call 4420 8749 5353. Talking Point at 14 hours GMT today.
In a couple of minutes in this week's edition of our discussion programme Agenda, Claire Balderson talks to key American policymakers of the past 20 years to get the real story behind US attitudes towards Iraq. Once Saddam Hussein was deemed to be a friend of America, now President Bush wants him out of Iraq. That's Agenda in 2 minutes, except for those of you in Asia and New Zealand who will be hearing Westway Omnibus. But now the news summary with Nick Kelly.
The Russian President Vladimir Putin has apologized to the relatives of those who died during the Special Forces operation to end the Moscow theater siege. In an emotional televised address, Mr. Putin appealed to the bereaved families, "Forgive us, we couldn't save everyone." He said he was grateful for support he'd received from foreign leaders. The outcome, Mr. Putin said, had proved that Russia could not be brought to its knees. The Russian authorities are continuing to put the number of hostage deaths in the bloody operation to end the Moscow siege at 67. However, a BBC correspondent in Moscow says the true number may be as many as 100. Heads of state from countries of the Pacific Rim at a summit in Mexico have agreed measures to restrict the movement of materials and funds that might be used for terrorist activities. They're going to strengthen procedures for pre-checking the contents of cargo containers sent by sea and tighten controls on two suspected ways that militant groups are funded: the practice of overseas workers sending remittances home and the flow of funds through charitable institutions. The radical Islamic preacher Abu Bakar Bashir has said he will resist all efforts by Indonesian police to arrest him. Mr. Bashir, who's under formal detention in a hospital, is suspected of involvement in a series of bombings 2 years ago and has been linked to the regional group Jamaah Islamiyah, which the Indonesian authorities believe was behind the bomb attack in Bali earlier this month. West African foreign ministers and army chiefs meeting in Ivory Coast have agreed to send a regional peacekeeping force to monitor the ceasefire there between the government and rebel forces. It's reported that 2,000 troops, mainly Senegalese, will take over within 10 or 15 days from French troops acting as a buffer force. The former army chief in the Central African Republic, François Bozizé, has confirmed that his supporters are behind the rebellion in the country. BBC News.
BBC News with Peter Bolgar. The Russian President Vladimir Putin has apologized to the relatives of those who died during the Special Forces operation to end the Moscow theater siege. In an emotional televised address, Mr. Putin appealed to the bereaved families.
Дорогие соотечественники,
we have been through a terrible ordeal. All our thoughts were with the people who were in the hands of armed scumbags. We have managed to achieve virtually the impossible, to save the lives of hundreds of people. We have proven that it is impossible to force Russia to its knees.
President Putin said he was grateful for support he'd received from foreign leaders. The United States, China, and European powers were among those expressing satisfaction that the siege had ended. The Russian authorities are continuing to put the number of hostage deaths in the bloody operation to end the Moscow siege at 67. The authorities are denying that any of the deaths were caused by the incapacitating gas that was pumped into the theater before the special forces stormed in. Jonathan Charles reports from Moscow.
The Russian authorities are maintaining the air of mystery, describing the gas used during the rescue operation only as a special substance. They're refusing to give either doctors or foreign diplomats details of the gas which was sprayed into the building where the hostages were being held. Designed to incapacitate the heavily armed Chechens, it also seems to have done serious damage to their captives. More than 500 of the hostages are still being treated for gas poisoning in Moscow hospitals. Many have breathing problems and memory loss. Military experts believe the gas could have been based on an hallucinogenic drug, one never deployed before in such circumstances.
Relatives, meanwhile, are angry over the lack of information on where the survivors have been taken and the apparent unwillingness of the hospital authorities to release those who now feel well. Heads of state from countries of the Pacific Rim have agreed a series of measures to restrict the movement of materials and funds that might be used for terrorist activities. The summit of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum in Mexico is expected to announce further counter-terrorism measures later today in its final declaration. Nick Miles reports from the venue in Cabo San Lucas.
Trade within the APEC nations runs into trillions of dollars. Much of that goes by sea, and it's this type of commerce that received a special focus from the heads of state. They agreed to strengthen the procedures for pre-checking cargo containers to make sure they're not being used by terrorist groups. Also on the list of agreements was a commitment to tighten up the monitoring of remittances sent across the region by overseas workers. Both are seen as key areas of funding for militant groups across the world. These measures will be complemented on Sunday by further counter-terrorism policies when the heads of state reveal the summit's final declaration. They're likely to include ambitious plans to standardize customs procedures across the APEC region within the next 3 years.
The radical Islamic preacher Abu Bakar Bashir has said he'll resist all efforts by Indonesian police to arrest him. Mr. Bashir said he was willing to be questioned by the police, but that he could only be arrested by force. Mr. Bashir, who's under formal detention in a hospital, is suspected of involvement in a series of bombings 2 years ago. You're listening to the news from the BBC in London. West African foreign ministers meeting in Ivory Coast have agreed to send a multinational peacekeeping force of 2,000 troops to monitor the ceasefire there between the government and rebel forces. From Abidjan, Tom McKinley reports.
Mohamed Chambas, the executive secretary of ECOWAS, said that Senegal would provide the largest number of troops, but added that the force would not be operational for at least 10 days. The West African peacekeeping force is intended to replace a contingent of 1,000 French troops who have been monitoring the cessation of hostilities since it was signed late last week. Mr. Chambas added that peace talks between the rebels and the government might begin as early as next week, outside Ivory Coast.
The former army chief in the Central African Republic, François Bozizé, has confirmed that his supporters are behind the rebellion in the country. In an interview with the BBC, General Bozizé called on President Ange-Félix Patassé to begin dialogue with the opposition or step down. Fighting is continuing in the capital of the Central African Republic, Bangui, with the general's supporters now in control of about a third of the city. Preliminary figures from local elections in Kosovo indicate that the turnout has been only 50% and considerably lower among the Serb minority. The head of the province's United Nations administration, Michael Steiner, described the outcome as satisfactory. But correspondents say low Serb participation is a setback for efforts to integrate the minority in the running of Kosovo. BBC News.
From Moscow, here's the news. First, the main points. Russia announces the outcome of the hostage release operation in Moscow. The world is focusing on the successful end of the theater siege in Moscow. And the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit is underway in Mexico. Those were the headlines. Now here's the news in full. Russian security forces have brought to end a three-day siege of a theater complex in Moscow where hundreds of people were held hostage by Chechen terrorists. Speaking to the media, Russian Deputy Interior Minister Vladimir Vasilyev said that over 90 hostages died in the operation and over 750, including children, were saved. Those injured are being provided medical aid. Most terrorists, as well as their leader, Baraev, were killed. A team of investigators and a bomb squad is searching for explosives in the building. According to the Management Crisis Center, the rescue operation launched earlier this morning when terrorists shot dead two men, and in the ensuing chaos, some hostages tried to escape. According to Mr. Vasiliev, this was not a planned operation, but the one triggered by events, and lasted about 15 minutes. Since sleeping gas was used during the operation, none of the suicide terrorists could trigger the explosive devices. Russian forces succeeded in preventing much greater death toll and the collapse of the building. In a television address to the Russian people on Saturday evening, President Vladimir Putin has thanked them for self-restraint and unity, saying the nation has survived 3 days of anguish for over 700 people who were held hostage by the terrorists. So everybody hoped the hostages would be released. They clearly realized they must be prepared for the worst. But the Russian special services succeeded in saving hundreds of people in the course of operation. Vladimir Putin expressed condolences to relatives of the victims, saying the memory of the killed and suffered in the terrorist act would consolidate all the Russians. The Russian leader expressed gratitude to the special forces who risked their lives to save the people. He also thanked foreign countries for assistance in the war on international terror. He described terror as a fierce enemy that is cruel and extremely dangerous. President Putin was confident, however, it would be crushed. President Vladimir Putin has held a session in the Kremlin with top military. According to the chief of the Russian Federal Security Service, Nikolai Patrushev, none of the terrorists escaped. In the course of the storm of the theater in Moscow, 50 terrorists were killed and several were detained. No casualties among special services have been reported. Interior Minister Boris Gryzlov says over 30 people suspected of supporting the terrorists were arrested in Moscow. Russian Prosecutor General Vladimir Ustinov has reported back to the president that a careful investigation will be carried out into the hostage-taking crisis to identify those who helped the terrorists in Moscow, Chechnya, and abroad. The Russian Deputy Interior Minister Vladimir Vasiliev describes the situation in Moscow as difficult but under control. He says law enforcement bodies remain on heightened alert, searching residential areas and checking hospitalized patients. Control has been tightened over metro stations, high buildings, weapons and explosive storages, schools, hospitals and railway stations. Russia believes that the All-Chechen Congress, scheduled for the 28th and the 29th of this month in Denmark, currently holding the European Union's presidency, will tarnish Denmark's intention to boost neighborly relations with Russia. According to the Russian Foreign Ministry statement released on Saturday, the Congress will be held by the Public Relations Office of the Chechen terrorists and their accomplices abroad. This would help coordinate efforts, the statement says, to bolster financing criminal actions in Chechnya and outside. The Russian Foreign Ministry believes the fact that Copenhagen is doing nothing to ban what Russia calls a provocative meeting looks blasphemous in the wake of the tragic events in Moscow. Mr. Jean-Pierre Raffarin has hailed the successful end of the hostage crisis in Moscow. He expressed condolences on the deaths of innocent people, but said France breathed with relief because the worst was averted. President of Poland, Alexander Kwasniewski, has praised what the Russian leadership has done to resolve the crisis. Leaders of the Commonwealth of Independent States have also praised professionalism by Russian special services and said that they're grieving over deaths of hostages. Presidents of Ukraine, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, Georgia, and other former Soviet republics have sent messages to President Putin. The unofficial Chechen Cultural Center, called the Representative Office of Ichkeria, has been closed in Azerbaijan. Appearing before reporters in Baku on Saturday, the Russian ambassador to the country, Nikolai Ryabov, has thanked the Azeri leadership for the decision. The Chechen center, the ambassador described as Maskhadov Intelligence Network, which was spreading separatist propaganda among Chechen refugees. There are about 8,000 of Chechen refugees in Baku at the moment. This news is coming to you in the Voice of Russia World Service.